In today's fast-changing world, it has been the norm for the last couple of decades to pit one generation against the other, especially when the norms, attitudes, and values of one generation goes against the generation that precedes it. For instance, the millennial generation was considered lazy, spoiled, and entitled. The Gen Z generation, the new entrants have been labeled as entitled and too distracted. Today I've been in conversation with writer and economist Lewis Kafira to discuss all things Gen Z. My name is Joe Kubuthi, and welcome to the Elephant in the Room podcast. Welcome, Lewis.
Thank you so much.
I'd like us to kick off this conversation with something you wrote recently for the Elephant, and you described the mantra of your generation as "Dolulu is the solulu." If you describe what this phrase means, and how does it capture the zeitgeist of your generation?
Okay, thank you for the question. Dolulu is more or less a slang derivative of the word delusion. And then solulu is a slang derivative of the word solution. So we're just saying that delusion is the only solution. So when you're growing up, or when you're a kid, you're shielded from so many things about the world. You know, you think that the world is straight ahead. Things move the way your parents have let you see them move, all right? But then now you suddenly become of age, and you have to get a job, you have to complete your education, and then amidst all these things, there are other things that are happening around you socially, politically, and economically. And it's so much a brutal and harsh reality. So in short, I think for us, we are a generation that phrase is us trying away to run away from those harsh realities, which is not too good, because they'll eventually catch up with us. So we are saying we're not too ready for this. We're not too ready, but we'll have to get there. So it's us on the social side. Society has been fragmented. You know, we had COVID, and then it changed a lot about how society was. And then on the political side, we have this. If I'm speaking from the local context, some of us, most of us, were first-time voters. And, if I'm to speak for myself, I was so excited to vote, because I was, in my head, I was like, I'm getting this opportunity to make my voice heard, to make a change in my... to make a change in a very small way, but in a way that will count for not only for my generation, but for my country. And then voted in, and then a new government gets into place. And 1 year down the line, things seem to be all over the place. You know, there's inflation. Inflation is... the last month, I think the latest one was 6.8%, I think, the year-on-year for the month of November. Previously, we have had highs of up to 7.something%. I don't remember the exact figure, but 7.something%. Then the crashing shilling. And then culturally, we are still trying to... I feel like we are walking away from what has always been. And we are trying now to forge a new culture for ourselves, to find a way that suits us. We are pushing back against what has been. We are not too different from the millennials. I'd say we are at a very hard-pressed moment in time, more than they were.
Mm-hmm. Also one of the feeling that I got from your piece and other pieces within the Gen Z edition was a sense of cynicism, yeah, in a sense in which your generation is living through an age of cynicism. In your piece, with the level of satire and talking about how you graduate, but the number of years you've spent out before you get a job, employers don't get you. How do you explain this level of cynicism that I think, particularly politically, we would have seen how last year, in the last year's election, how in as much as we thought there'll be a whole new bunch of Gen Z's voting, the voter apathy was extremely, extremely high. How do you explain How do you explain, where did this come from?
Okay, first I'd like to correct you. I don't think us as a generation have gotten there yet. But it's what we see from our parents, the Gen Xs, and our elder siblings, the millennials. Every time I talk to older people, I get the sense that they've already given up. They don't see Kenya they don't see whether Kenya will be any different than it is right now. You know, they grew up at a time when the time for the SAPs in the 1992, and then now right now it feels like they have gone back in time, and so they're just like, tunavumilia, then when our time is done, we just get out. But and then the millennials came with so much energy. They were touted as the generation that will turn things upside down, but they have also got into that general feeling of, we're just here to live and then, you know, transit. So for us, we are still trying to discover. We are still trying to find our place, and we are learning so much. We are picking so much from these previous generations. We have not gotten to the level of cynicism that we are seeing in these previous generations, and I hope that we don't get there. And I think the way to immerse ourselves is to realize that, of course, Kenya, the political project that was Kenya, seems to be failing time and time again, and that has spillover effects to the economy and the way society is structured. But I think the only way we can turn that upside down is if we consciously realize that, you know, we are like at the end of the chain. If we don't do anything, then another generation will come and will be passing the traumas of the previous generation, the failures of our country, over and over and over again. And then what? I mean, we all want a better life for ourselves, for our country. Every time we talk, we are comparing Kenya to Singapore. We are comparing Kenya to, you know, you look at other folks from other countries and talk to them, and you know, from Britain, and life seems to be, it's not the best, but it's better than what you have, and you'd want that. And I get the feeling that most of my peers want to migrate, but then, after you migrate, then what next? You leave your folks here. Of course, you go make a life there, but it will never be really home. You know, home is where the heart is. And I believe your heart is mostly connected to your roots, which is here. So you go leave your folks around, you leave your folks back, and it's counterintuitive. We can make a better country for ourselves if only we are willing to do the work. We are willing to dismantle. Or to push back against the already established order, what you call the status quo that has been.
So, but Lewis, one of the interesting things about your generation is how you have and are using technology not just to change your immediate worlds, whether it be relationships, how you date, how you're getting married, how your interpersonal relationships, but also how you're also changing the workplace. Has technology influenced how your generation sees the world, but also how you navigate the world?
Technology has greatly impacted the way in which my generation perceives and actually moves around the world. More than ever now, we are interconnected politically, socially, and culturally to other folks around the globe, and it has the one big advantage about it is that it has heightened awareness, and it has made us see that the things that we are going through have some other countries have experienced them. I have experienced those same things, and it's a point for us to learn. For example, the End SARS campaign in Nigeria. I have some friends over in Nigeria, and every time I talk to them, they are. It's sort of it's something that lingers in their memory, and it's the younger, the ones who are my, the friends who are my age, sort of have this heightened consciousness that they wouldn't want their country to, you know, to go back to those times. So they are aware more than ever, and I think they're passing that onto us. Also have like the end Palestine campaign that's online. And I, every other time I see my friends on Twitter, they have that, the flag over there. And we had some of us attended that congregation at Church Bookshop a while ago, when that was disrupted. And I think it's making us be more political aware. But the disconnect that I'm finding in that whole web is that we are so alive to what's happening elsewhere. Same thing as the Black Lives Matter movement around 2021, thereabouts. We are so alive to what's happening elsewhere, but we are not directing enough energy to what's happening here. There are a lot of, you know, how do I call it? Kenya is not where it's supposed to be. The society is... there are a lot of broken fragments, like broken shards of glass. We're not directing our energy towards, we're not directing enough energy towards that. And I think that's a major weakness for us. About the workplace, I think it has revolutionized in a great way our perception about work. And now I get the sense that most of us now prefer a mixed work culture where you can work from home, sometimes go to work. And the older generation is still trying to catch up, but I think that's a positive. In other spheres, the one big downside, it's a positive, but it's also a downside. We have had it has opened so many opportunities for entrepreneurship online. You know, we have digital marketers, mm-hmm. we have content creators. But then there's this small thing where, you know, most people of my generation, because of the desperation, you know, we need incomes and stuff like that, are being used to push hashtags over Twitter and sometimes Facebook. Some of them are politically, you know, politically charged, and they're not always on the right side. It's a good thing, but perhaps even they don't understand what they're doing. It's only for the money, you know, some little 500 bobs here, 1,000 bob, and that's a downside. Yeah,
that's just a downside. One of the things also that's coming out of from your generation because of technology is there's a growing sense that community isn't strong within your generation, interpersonal relationships, because of you're spending too much time on your screens. What would you say to this as someone from that generation?
No, I think that's a fallacy. That's only what you guys can see.
Okay.
What has happened is that it has it has taken communication to a different realm. Communication, community, and interaction to a different realm. See, for previous generations, a community meant family, meant geographical proximity. You know, if you're able to, you're in the same geographical proximity, you're able to form some sort of community. But now with the accelerated use of, you know, of technology, community has shifted to an online presence. You know, we have guys hosting spaces now, such as how you guys do. We have guys there's this feature for, I think, for WhatsApp, where they have communities. So I think that's where most of us are transiting. It's easier for us. It's reachable for us. So I don't think the sense of community is broken, just that it has shifted away from being physical to online. Yeah.
Okay. And again, one of the things, aside of the idea of community, I'm trying to understand the success of your generation to change things outside of politics. You've managed. I'm a millennial, so you guys have managed to change workplace ethics, but also how work is done. You've because of the use of technology, you've pushed how even consumer habits have changed. I'm yet to see though your generation changing political life? In your view, will it change after a while, or do you think there are some things that your generation needs to do? And if there are so, what do you think your generation needs to do such that you're able to change political life?
The way I see political, social political change is that it begins from awareness. You first get to the point of awareness, and then after awareness, and then action. So the point at which most of us are at right now is the point of awareness. We are still figuring our way out. We are still trying to understand things. I'm not sure how long that's taking. It's taking too long. It's taking longer than I wish it would take, but we are getting there. How will it change things? Kenya is the political project called Kenya. I think it's not working anymore. It might never work. The way we can change this, and might be a very radical solution, but it calls for this philosophical concept called social entropy, where things start from a state of nothingness, and then you build things, and then there's destruction. So for us, Kenya started from nothingness way before colonialism, and then structures were built, and then the structure sort of crumbled. That order that had been created crumbled as we are getting to colonialism. And then now there was Africanization, and there was the African now coming into power. And then they started to build their own structures. Okay? For us now Kenya is at a point where the structures are starting to crumble again. You're starting to get disentangled again. And now we get to that first stage of a social entropy again, where we're in a state of tabula rasa. Now we are starting to build things again. That's where our generation could come in at. I think I cited the Egyptian People's Revolution of 2011. As radical as it sounds, that's the only way I think Kenya can achieve change going forward.
Okay, I mean, Lewis, I like what you're saying. And so how do you think your generation can be part of building, not the state, because you've said the state may never work, but how do you think, what kind of imagination do you think your generation needs to build a new kind of political formation outside of the Kenyan state?
We have to go back to the basics. I was listening into your space last week, and Professor Wandia Njoya mentioned a very important thing, the sense of community. We have to go to the very basic of things. She cited the example of, if I'm late from work and your kid needs to get her homework done, she can go over to my place, she could eat and get homework done, so that by the time you arrive, she's ready for bed and things like that. That's the sense of community that we need to cultivate within our generation to make things work. We have to realize that, we are the common denominator for every one of us is the social adversities that we face. We had COVID, we had the Russian-Ukrainian war that trickled down, whose effects trickled down to us, and then we have also had the Israeli-Hamas war, whose trickled down effects we're also feeling. So I think amidst all this, it calls for us to go to the very basic of places, to the very very lower of places, to the basic structure. Are we how much do I care for the next person? How much do I care that this community works? How much do I care that we have food? Incomes are passing all around, and we are building something that is sustainable to the future. Mm-hmm. So we have to stop thinking about the state, but think of our own small communities. And when I speak about communities, I'm not speaking from a tribal sense, from a class sense. I'm speaking from a generational sense. Let the generation, us as a generation, that be our sense of community. And I think we are getting there. I think from my interactions with people, tribe isn't such a big thing nowadays. No, it's class, because I'm also into very artsy circles, and we are bringing guys from we're having guys from all tribes, all across the class pyramid, and the point of meeting is never our backgrounds, but the issues that affect us in common.
So finally, Lewis, how do you think the Gen Z is? What role are Gen Z is playing in this imagination?
The way I see it, as I've stressed before, I don't think we have still figured out a path for ourselves, but I think the strongest point for us is the fact that we have this realization that we are united by common adversity, and we are sort of pushing back the preceding generations by the way we think and perceive things. Now, as I've said, we have, apart from that collective communal realization, we have the benefit of hindsight. We have seen the failures of the Gen Xs, then we had the millennials, who are not too different from us and who are talented for change. I've read a number of articles from your millennial editions, and again, it says that these guys were so charged up for change. They were talented as the generation that will come and change things, but nothing has been forthcoming. So we have the benefit of hindsight. How we use the benefit of hindsight and the social awareness that we have acquired is what will make or break us as a generation and Kenya as a whole going forward.
Thank you, Lewis, for your time here at The Elephant.
Thank you for having me as well.
Asante sana.
Karibu.